And it's good to see you that are with us this morning by way of the internet as well. I have the month of July of the CDs for you who haven't gotten them, and we're almost out of July. As I was saying, it's good to see you that are with us this morning, all of the various groups that are watching at this particular time and join with us today. We were just singing the song, the chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The last Sunday, I guess it was, our main point was the focusing of our heart upon Christ. Well, turn your eyes, the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your soul, which is truly the eyes that come to see Him. Opening the Spirit of God, opening the eyes of your understanding. You see so many types of that in the Old Testament, but also in the New. And some are just more outstanding than others, but it is Christ giving sight to the blind. And this is exactly what the Spirit of Truth does, working in you and I, to the showing, to the making known, making seen. All of that is summed up in the word revealing. Our salvation, and He reveals that salvation in a person. He simply doesn't teach us what that person did or does or will do. There's nothing in the Scripture with regard to that being what the Spirit does, but rather He takes of that which is Christ. All that Christ is the fullness of, all that Christ is the very substance of, He takes that is Christ, and shows it unto us. Thus saith the Lord Jesus in Matthew 16. And He there says, and He shows you the things to come, or things that will come. And the things that He's talking to them about right then is the things that will come. He will show you these things that I'm talking to you about. It doesn't mean that He will at that time show you some more things that have not yet come. It has nothing to do with that. He will show you, basically, He will show you that which I am. He will show you the reality of that which is come in me. He will show you the fulfillment and the reality of all that I have said unto you. He will take of mine and He will show it unto you. And I was thinking just here a while ago, and this has been, there's very little else been on my mind for several weeks now, And that is, again and again and again, the summing up of all things in Christ, and then the knowing of Him. The knowing of Him. Not only knowing that all things are summed up in Him, but knowing Him. And the little course this morning says that, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful or in His glorious face. Well, hon, that's something. That's something that no one under the old covenant was allowed to do. And yet it was the very expectation of the old covenant. Expectation of glory, expectation of righteousness, expectation of eternal life. You can go right down the line. They're all summed up in Him. You see those things in His face, or you don't see them at all. What you receive in Him, you see in His face. Christ is not separate from our salvation. He is not separate from the biblical quotation here, all things of our salvation. He is not separate from the all things that God hath summed up in Him. No. It's not a bunch of things plus Jesus. But rather, it is the seeing of the allness, summation of all things in Him. What a small view. And I was thinking the other day, the danger in many believers and the danger in much of the church world is such a small view of the cross. And that view just continues to be protected and perpetuated. So small that you can put it on a little emblem and tack it up on a door or a wall, or you can make an emblem of it that's bigger than me and hang that up somewhere. And immediately in the minds of everybody, it becomes a sign of a historical event. You can't separate the living Christ from the cross. You cannot do it. I mean, yeah, the natural mind can come up with most anything, but in reality, they are inseparable. You cannot do it. Neither can you separate the living, indwelling Son of God. I'm talking now to you in whom Christ is dwelling. It's the same, hon, whether He's in you or not. But I'm talking to you in whom Christ is dwelling. You cannot separate Him from that which He is, from the salvation that He is. We have very small understanding of that salvation because we focus the whole thing on ourselves. To most people, deliverance is not the act of God translating you from the power of darkness and all that goes with it into the kingdom of His dear Son. To most people, that is not deliverance at all. To most people, deliverance is getting out of some circumstance that I created. Or maybe I didn't create it. Maybe I just fell into it and somebody else created it. I don't know. But just getting me out of a present dilemma. That's not deliverance at all. Deliverance goes far beyond me and any dilemma I could possibly have. It goes far beyond the state of sin. Really, it does. True deliverance, sweet darling, is not getting out of anything. It is being in Christ in all things. And that brings us to what we're talking about today. The reality of being in Christ. But you see, our natural eyes cannot see this reality. Therefore, consequently and automatically, we focus on what we can see. And, you know, we'll try to do something with it. Sometimes we just try to make it acceptable. Or something that I can just learn to live with. I mean, we go on and on and on. That's humanity for you. That's the reason that the concept of heaven being a long way off is preached so much by humanity. Having no understanding of our union with Christ right now at all. So, this just reinforced what I was going to talk to you about. Anyway, the singing of the chorus, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." That requires a complete turning of our heart, a complete turning of our soul. It's not just the eyes of our soul looking one direction while our soul is facing a totally another direction at all. No, it's a turning of our heart from one thing to a total other thing altogether. Turning. The body of Christ about which we have been speaking here, I found just a little notation yesterday that I had written. The body of Christ is not something in addition to Him. His body is that which He fully occupies with Himself. Even in the natural sense, you think about this. Is there any part, I mean, unless you are sick, diseased, have had amputations, on and on I could go. But in the perfect sense, is there any part of your body that you, in your mind, the brain, the head, is there any part of your body that you do not occupy? I mean, what part of your body can be injured and you don't feel hurt? Now, I know all of this is in the natural. I know it is. I know God made man that way. and it all registers in your brain. Even the seeing of your eyes is a work of your brain. But I'm just asking you something. I was just sitting on the edge of my bed thinking about these things. I think about things like this all the time. But I was there, and I was going to put my boots on, and I got to looking at my two big toes. So with my hands. So I moved this big toe. You'd be surprised how little effort that took on my part. I just, with my mind, with my brain, I didn't say, toe, move. But my whole desire was, my whole intention, move that toe. And it amazed me. I mean, just stay with me. It amazed me because I thought, good Lord, I'm doing nothing but sitting here thinking. Move. Thinking, that's all. Thinking about my word. So all soul is Christ. Much larger scale in eternity. But it's the same. With his body. No wonder. I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. No wonder. Having the mind of Christ. No wonder. But be you renewed in the spirit of your mind. No wonder. Because in so many cases, those who are the body of Christ are functioning under the brain of a human. Namely themselves. And we end up then giving God some time. If I can spare it. How do you give God time? Inwardly. Inwardly, in the midst of doing whatever you're doing. Wherever you are there having eyes upon Him. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Darling, that's true deliverance. True deliverance is not just when your body is delivered out of a thing, something, anything. True deliverance is when you're delivered out of your body into His, into the kingdom of His dear Son, because that's where we're going in this little study, the King and the kingdom. The altar and the throne. We'll get to those things. They're on my mind and on my heart every day. Under the term, the working of the cross. My, my. But there I sat, looking at those two toes in absolute amazement that I didn't have to get the help of my hand to reach down there and move it around. Now, I know it. I'm not making light of anything, but I know there's those that have to do that, but that's because of an affliction. That's because of something is broken down. Something is not proper. I'm talking about in its proper state. Because I'm actually talking about something that does relate to the body of Christ. Many members, yet one body. And Paul says all of this to us. We've looked at it all. We've read it all. And it's just in my heart We've read again and again, our identifying with one another is in Him. It is not in one another. The hand doesn't identify with the hand. The foot doesn't identify with the foot. No, we identify with the head. That's where we understand we are one. And there's no other way to do it. That's what we've been talking about. And I simply want to go on from that today. The administration of fullness. The administration of the fullness of Christ. See, we're working toward the throne. Because the administration of Christ, no matter what it is dominating, whether that administration of fullness is dominating times, dominating place, whatever. It is the administration of the kingdom. And we want to begin to look at that. Because only one, hon, rules in the kingdom. The word kingdom means the rule of the king. So that will eventually bring us to some questions that we might have to think about. Because there's no doubt that we're in Christ through new birth, baptism. Christ is in you. But in every place and in everything and in every time and in every situation, who is dominating? Is the place dominating? Is the thing dominating? Is the time dominating? Who is dominating? Who is governing? In my heart, in my soul. See, darling, we're just not going to be able to continue, if we grow in Him, continue to separate the body from the head and make it work, because it won't work. It'll turn into religion that fast. Not reality. So we've been looking that salvation is not self-centered, it's not me-centered, it's Christ-centered. We've come to see that God's view of salvation is having all things gathered up and presented in one Son. We read that in Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, all the way through. But we focused upon it in Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. Now, I have to tell you that the whole thing, Maybe the Lord is dealing with me, and maybe His dealings are a little beyond my words, and they always are. Very rare that I'm able to say anything that is truly the Lord. Without praying for utterance. The cross. See, the cross. I was back, I guess it was yesterday, I was back in Ephesians 1 again in verse 9 and 10. The word finished work keeps coming to me. Finished work of the cross. We apply it to a lot of things. The finished work. I think it is safe to say that the work that is finished, the work that is perfect, the man who is complete and perfect, the salvation that is complete and perfect and finished, to which nothing can be added and from which nothing can be taken, is Christ Himself. And anymore, when I say that, when I've been saying that to myself, when I've been writing it down everywhere that I can write it down here, I realize that I am not seeing perfectly He who is the perfection. I see that He is the perfection. But He is not just that word given to Him, you know. But rather to see the perfection that He is. I mean, we run out of words after a while, but I'll tell you this, our vision, our union with a person cannot be understood, seen, or experienced by reading something about that person. We must in our heart go farther than that. We must see the person with the indwelling Christ. Seeing is knowing, and knowing is experiencing the reality that He is. I mean, those are just true words. That's what it means in the Scripture. But there is a knowing of Him who is the perfect salvation. And there's no doubt that we come to see He's the perfect salvation, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm simply talking about seeing the Him of it, seeing Him. We're talking about a body, a fellowship in that body, so we're talking about relationships. Relationships. In the natural, you guys could sit in a classroom. We all could sit in a classroom together and be taught by the best instructor on the face of the earth on something, whatever that something might be. We could all sit there and be taught and taught and taught. We could come back. We could do that in days, weeks, months, semesters. We could do that for 4 years, 6 years, 8 years. We could do that. And it's still the great possibility, and also the great probability, is that no one in that class would have a relationship one with the other beyond just sitting in the class. So we're talking about relationship here. Because we're not just sitting in a class, we're dwelling in a person. Dwelling in a person. See, that's the whole difference than being gathered in a building and gathered in Christ. May we always bring that gathering into buildings, but the gathering is in Him. And if it's not there, then it doesn't exist. Now, hon, what we're talking about here, the only thing I'm talking to you about is the reality of being in Christ. This is what it's about. This is the salvation that we have. What we read in Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, we note that it said, having made known. Now this is the key, having made known. Darling, it's not God's purpose that you and I, who are in His Son, remain ignorant of the reality of being there. Nor would God have us to be ignorant of the person of Christ in whom we do dwell. The reality of our salvation, and Christ is our salvation, hon, and Christ is in you. And if Christ is not in you and I, well, then we've got a whole nother something else to talk about. But I'm speaking to those who are by new birth, baptism, work of the Spirit of God in union with Christ in the union that He said we were and that the Spirit testifies to, the Spirit who is in us. So I'm talking about union here. Now I'm talking about the reality of salvation is not in you and me just so that we can give, or just by giving mental assent to the fact that we're all in Christ. The reality breaks forth in our hearts, because I did not say the reality that I am saved. I said the reality or realization of who and what that salvation is. It comes in my heart, the understanding of it, in the seeing of the one who dwells there. How do we imagine, do we even imagine, but how would we think, how should we think, how that Paul was able to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Don't you suppose that it was, and I'm not making light of this because the Scriptures tell us clearly, but don't we suppose, wouldn't we think, that it was something to which the eyes of His understanding, the eyes of His heart and soul were opened by the very Spirit of God, and that what He seen became the true vision, visuality and vision of His salvation, and that who and what He saw within was Christ Himself. And He didn't see Him as His disciples did in the flesh. No, He saw Him in spirit, in truth, He saw him as the living one, living in him. What I'm trying to tell you is it wasn't like a picture that he could paint on the wall and hang it in somebody's gallery. None of that. But he saw the person, the substance. Of the glory of God. This time not in a shadow. This time not in a type. This time not in a cloud. No, no. But in Christ. In Christ. Whole different understanding. Whole different knowledge. Whole different seeing. Because all of that has to register in our brain, not in our soul. That which the soul sees is not only more soul as pertaining to a reality, much more so, but it is eternally so. It is in that understanding that we are able to relate to where we are and who we are. The where is in Christ, the who is His body, His house. And we could take that on and will in the days to come. The mountain of His appearing, the city of His glory, the house, oh my. It's His body. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, not keeping it a secret, however, having made known. We need to get a hold of that. Our journey in Christ, our growing up in Christ, and I use the word journey as a point of reference. Our growing up in Christ is certainly a process of knowing Him. And nothing of Him is hidden from those who are His body. And there is no veil in Christ. One of the first things Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, he brings it to and sums it up. There's no veil in Christ. Which veil is done away in Christ? We may come to talk about that just in a moment. Oh, yes, we'll be right there in just a second. In Ephesians 1:9, Paul emphasizes having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. Nothing of Christ has been held back. Nothing of Christ has been kept back. Nothing of Christ is yet to come. Nothing of anything of which He is the fullness is yet to come. Much is yet to be comprehended, but nothing is yet to come. Now, there's terminologies that I try to change from time to time, just because I see what's been done with part of it. The emphasis that I'm trying to make here is not on things, but it is upon the One who is the fullness of the all things. What I'm trying to say here is that God is not simply showing us all that He hath done for us. Not simply trying to show us all that we have in Christ. No, I try to lay that aside as much as I can, because I know what the carnal mind immediately does with it. Hon, it's about the Son Himself. See, there's things I'd like to say right now with that would make that emphatic, but I know good and well that I shouldn't do that at this point in time, because that would be misunderstood. But I'm telling you, darling, it's not about things. It's not about, God is not like Santa Claus coming down a chimney with a bag full of goodies, and then one day coming in His reindeer, sticking us in the sleigh, and taking us all back to the land of Never Never at the North Pole or wherever else. It's all about Christ. That's it. The summation of it. It's about Him. It's about relationship with Him. Well, yes, with Him. It is that we actually have to share with one another. You understand that? I mean, that's it. But that is much, much more, much, much more than enough. That is eternal. It's more than we could... What can we really share with each other now? Well, all right. There are things. But the measure of them is... time. The measure of them ends with death. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And yet those relationships can be embraced in the scope of a relationship that is eternal. A husband can embrace a wife in that greater relationship that is eternal, vice versa, a wife, a husband, children being embraced by mother and father and brothers and sisters. Yes. But not instead of that eternal relationship, because that'll only lead you to disappointment. Honey, it comes down to this. The truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. And the truth is that if you are in Him, He is in you, and you are His body. Now, that's the truth of it. Then we may as well say, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding that I may comprehend this glorious thing. And that's what I'm talking to you about. Because it's all a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit that Christ is in you. It's a work of the Spirit that you are in union with Him. It is a work of the Spirit that He is in the Father. You can read that. According to His good pleasure, hath made known unto us the mystery of His will, my Lord, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, in the administration of fullness, the administration of the Spirit, here is made manifest the will that God has made known. Here is the mystery that He has revealed. Here is that thing that is accomplished, which was according to His good pleasure, which He planned and purposed before the world was unto His own satisfaction. Here it is, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now don't try to belittle that statement, hon, because therein, and this is the thing that I was circling around my chair yesterday. This is the thing. Here it is right here, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Darling, this is the cross. This is the finished work of the cross. This is Christ, the finished work of the cross. This is it. This is His death, His burial, His resurrection. This is His ascension. This is His coming again. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. It's all gathered up right here. Because it's all gathered up in Him and who He manifestly is. Well, God comprehends, sees, knows all things based upon the finished work that His Son is. If summed it all up in Christ, this is it. This is what God has purposed. Paul is saying, this is not what God is planning to do. This is what He has planned to do and accomplish in Christ and made known unto us. Paul is saying, He hath made known to me the mystery. And I declare to you that mystery of God in Christ, that God planned and purposed to do, He has done. Well, sweetheart, you can't put this into a future reference. Salvation is not in a future reference unless you're reading the Old Testament. Everything there under that regime, under that age, was by promise, by prophecy, by hope, by types, by shadows of things not seen. But the new covenant in Christ is not in promise and prophecy and things not seen, but it is in substance, it is in evidence, and in that which the Spirit reveals, for He searches the deep things of God and reveals them in you. There is nothing hidden here, except to those who just will not look. There are no veils over the face of Christ. There are no veils in His in His sanctuary, in His house. That's the reason Paul could say, set your affection on things above where Christ sitteth, because God hasn't put a veil over that. It's done away. Why? Well, because that's not in one place and you in another. See, that's the whole point. Set your affection on things above. Why? Because that's where you are. Quickened together, raised together, seated together. This is not a fictional place. It is simply a divine reality that cannot be seen by the natural brain, the natural mind. But it is revealed of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Above is not simply where Christ is, darling. Above is Christ Himself. He is the above. And we are in Him. He told the Jews this. I am from above. You are from beneath. You are of the earth and earthy. I am the Lord from heaven. Well, now, you know that I'm quoting from Paul's letter there. But Jesus said the same thing time and time again in talking to the Jews. And they wouldn't receive Him. They wouldn't receive Him as from above, because they could see with their natural eyes His mother and father, Joseph and Mary. And they couldn't even for sure, all of them in a big argument about it all the time, get the location of His natural birth down. No, they couldn't. One would say from here, another would say from there. And then argue about it. The sad fact of the matter is that today, it's still so today, because yesterday I was reading it and it was very much so. The sad fact is that theologians are still arguing over those very same things in those very same scripture. I lie not. Missing the whole point, just like the Jews did. Just like the the Pharisees, the just like the Sanhedrin did. Missing that whole reality, darling. So, all right, my time is up. We'll come back here and start, because I wanted to talk with you particularly the veil done away in Christ. And then I asked the question, what veil? And oh my, see this thing that the Lord is impressing in me called the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. Christ, the finished work of it. You can't separate the two. The veil. Well, we'll need to talk about it. I went to Hebrews 10. And then to Colossians and all of that. It's the veil of His flesh, hon. See, Lord. It's the veil of His flesh. Through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. The veil of His flesh. My Lord. Think about that. You think about it now. I mean it. You think about it. Same thing about, because I was looking at this. I was looking at Abraham. I was looking at David. I was looking at the... I was interested in Mount Moriah. I was interested in Zion. And in the press of looking at all of that, I came across the threshing floor. Threshing floor, threshing floor, threshing floor. And contrary to all the things that I've heard about the threshing floor, yes, even from deeper life writers, they never did set just right, because it puts me coming out better or coming out... There's only one seed, darling. Only one seed. He went to the threshing floor. It was the husk that He took on Himself. That was done away. That seed. Well, a bunch of things went through my mind, but it brings it back to this reality, hon. When the Father reveals a finished work, I was looking back at the temple, I've got to quit. When the Father reveals a finished work, He reveals the Son, and reveals that Son in you. Does that not have great effect in our soul? Yes, but we're not talking about effect. We're talking about cause. Cause. And the cause is Christ. The cause of all sin was found in Adam. We're talking about the righteousness of God. We're talking about our salvation. We're talking about the one whose body we are. So I'll close with that. The one whose body we are. The reality of being in Christ. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for being with us this Sunday morning. Thank you so much. May the Lord richly bless you. If we can be of any ministry to you, any kind of help to you, please don't hesitate to let us know. Many of you know, many of you in this fellowship know or have known Brother Henry Stanley up in Virginia. Brother Stanley had a stroke. I'm sure that's been out on Facebook and all kind of things from social media, and that's all well and good. But I'm just mentioning it to you. And as far as I know, sitting here at this particular time, he was in the hospital, still in the hospital. Brother Wayne Shelton is the one who contacted me. And just stand with Brother Henry. And just share with him that measure of Christ that is working in you. Also, Brother Bruce Miller and his wife are both in a care home. Having been in the hospital, they're both in a care home, and I suppose we'll end up back home, we trust. But both are in very severe condition. Gloria broke her hip, and Bruce has, to some degree, an unknown malady, but it has to do with lungs, and I don't know how much more. They very much need our prayers and need us to just be with them in spirit, in truth. Brother Henry Stanley and Brother Bruce Miller. Brother Miller is in Boone, North Carolina. Brother Henry Stanley is up in Manassas Park, Virginia. At least that's where he lives. So many of you have seen those two brethren and know those two brethren by past in past meetings and so forth. We certainly stand with them and their families at this time. Now, I say all of this not knowing moment to moment. Today is Sunday, and as far as I know, this is the condition. So the Lord bless you who are so precious to share with us in the increase, or shall I say the outreach, of this gospel. We thank you for it. It is by your sharing that we are able to increase the outreach of this gospel throughout his body and around the world, and we appreciate your support more than we could ever tell you. So the Lord bless. We'll see you again on the internet in one of the various classes that are available to you every day. Let us hear from you. The Lord bless. Amen. All right, that's it.